Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording made in Wellspring Church in central Watford. We're glad you've connected with us online, and of course you can follow us on social media, even download the Wellspring app. But much better than this is meeting in person. We would love to welcome you to one of our services in a congregation near you. As you listen to this recording, know that we are praying for you to be encouraged, inspired, and given wisdom from heaven to live life to the full as Jesus intended and bring transformation to your world with his amazing love. God bless you.
Wonderful. Thank you. Good morning. It's great to be here, and it really is a privilege to serve God in the way that I do here in this church and in the community. So thank you, Tim, for that introduction. It really is brilliant. And Tim mentioned that I have three small children. It can be a little bit chaotic, but I love it. It's great. I just want to tell you a little bit of a story of what it's like for us as a family. I don't know about you if you have people come over for dinner. We love it as a family. We have a lot of fun and we love hosting. But one of the things that I absolutely hate is to tidy up beforehand. And it goes a little bit like this. Helen will come to me and say, right, we've got an hour until they come. We need to do a bit of tidying. And she says, I'll clean the kitchen and start cooking. Brilliant. Can you look after the kids? Yeah, I can do that and tidy the living room in kind of brackets afterwards. And I think, yes, okay, I can do this. I can do both jobs, look after the kids and tidy at the same time. I've got this, no problem, leave it to me, I'm fine. And so I walk in and think, I'm going to make this a game and say to the boys, who wants to play a game? And they both go, no. And then I think, okay, so let's try something a little bit more stern. We're going to tidy up now, boys. And nothing, literally nothing changes. It's exactly the same as it was before. And so I think, all right, okay, I'll do it without them. So I start tidying, and then one of them comes to join me, and I'm like, yes, get a photo. I'm going to post this all over the internet. Hashtag, I've got this, and it's all absolutely fine. And one starts putting the Duplo bricks back in the bag. It's all going well. And then I turn around, and the other one's emptied the train track all over the floor. Oh, so I've got more tidying. I'm trying to tidy up, and I'm actually making more mess. And so I think, okay, let's change tack here. They love the Hoover. Let's get the Hoover out. So I get the Hoover out, and I start hoovering. And all three of my kids, Eva included, and the little one, comes over and puts a hand on the Hoover itself and starts to help me. So I'm just literally doing this. And getting absolutely nowhere. So telly, telly to the rescue. So I put them in front of the telly. And then as I start getting the telly and start hoovering them, I notice that one of my kids, Luke it normally is jumping over Josh or Eva and shouting, bundle! And then I think, oh no, I taught him that. That's not good. And I think, okay, Luke, get off Josh. Luke, get off Josh. And then as a final act of defiance, he slaps him round the head. So I've got Josh crying, Luke in trouble, and Eva I'm just ignoring because she's okay at the moment. And so I pick up the crying child, try and comfort him. Then with the other hand, I try and drag the told off child to the step. And at the same time, I'm trying to hoover at the same time. All three things at the same time. And then Eva, because she's being ignored, tries to hold onto my leg. And I'm like, I'm trying to tidy here. Can you not help? And then I'm thinking, Helen, this is all Helen's fault. She told me to do both jobs at the same time. I'm now really annoyed at Helen. Anyway, I think, right, okay, let's calm it all down. Still got lots of time. It's going to be absolutely fine. Get them in front of the telly and they go, what's that smell? Right, which one of you have filled the nappy? All three of you! How do you possibly time that? And it's not just a little one, little wipe, you know, and then it's all done. It's like over everything. So I pick them up and say, right, let's get you in the shower. But I don't want to go in the shower. I don't want to tell you. You need to go in the shower. They go in the shower. They actually quite like the shower. And then when they're in the shower, it's like, okay, now I need to get you dressed. I don't want to get out of the shower. I don't want to get out of the shower. And it's chaos. And we've got nappies everywhere. We've got clothes everywhere. I still haven't tidied up the Duplo. And I'm trying to hoover at the same time. And now it's 5 minutes. Before everyone wants to, everyone's coming over, and I'm thinking, Helen, can you help? Come on, we need. I'm knowing it, and she's like, I'm absolutely fine. You know, I've tidied the kitchen, I've listened to music, and I've cooked the dinner, and it's absolutely fine. And so, and anyway, so it's 5 minutes. So it's like, well, forget anything, right? We're just going to hide everything in a cupboard that's no one's going to look in. So we just throw everything, child out the cupboard, everything back into the cupboard. And then the doorbell goes. I still haven't got changed. So go and get changed quickly. Back down. Now smiles on. Open the door and. Welcome to the Harrison family. our lovely, peaceful, chaos-free household. Come in, have a drink, take the weight off your feet. There's something within us that wants to look good, to present ourselves well before everyone else, that when people come to us, they think they've got it sorted. It's going well. It's fine. And this morning, we're going to turn back to Isaiah. A few weeks ago, we were looking at Isaiah, and then I know you had the series on love life. And we're coming to Isaiah 52. And you will remember that the Israelites here are in exile. They seem abandoned, or they feel abandoned. They feel like it's the end for them. They're in exile. There's nothing left for them. And they're in this place where it's like, where are you, God? And God is speaking to them. He's saying, look, wake up. These are my promises for you. This is who I am. I've got you. And in the midst of this, we hear the servant song. And this servant song shows us what God is like, shows us who he is and what he's going to do. And he speaks comforting words to the Israelites. So I'm reading from Isaiah 52 and verse 13. See, and I'm just going to stop there. I'm not going to do this after every word, but see. Because sometimes when we look at something, when we see something, it's like, this is what's going on in the surface. This is what's happening. But often there's something much more going on underneath. That actually, it's not just what's happening on at the surface. There's more. And God is saying to the Israelites here, see with your spiritual eyes. Don't look at the circumstances. Don't look at what it looks like. Don't look at the physical side of things. See what I'm doing, and it's something different. It's a bit like a couple of weeks ago, I was watching the England v Scotland Six Nations rugby game. And if you turned on after half an hour, you would have seen that England were 31-0 up. And it was like, whoa-hey! Right, I don't need to watch any more of that. England have won. Home and hose, that's done. But actually, what was happening was one of the most remarkable games of rugby as Scotland came back and very nearly run it. And it's one of the most painful sporting experiences I've ever had to endure. But it wasn't what was happening in front of you. England were 31-0 up. Actually, if you saw what was happening, you could see something different. And that's the essence of this. See, it's continuing all that God has been saying through Isaiah up to this point, that it is more than the physical circumstances. So let's continue reading. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. And here in this passage, we see just such big contrasts. We see that people will be appalled at this service, at this servant, appalled at him. He will be disfigured beyond that of any human that we can imagine. His form marred, that you don't even recognize him as a human. And it's like, he's not even human. It doesn't look good. And yet, Isaiah says, he will be raised. He will be lifted up. He will be highly exalted. And to us, in a culture where we want to try and make things look good, that we post things online that say, look at me, I've got it sorted. Look at this. This is good. We want everything to look good. Just like the house, we want people to see things as they're not, that they get the wrong impression in one sense. We try and put something out there that says, look at me. I'm okay. It looks good. And what God says here is, you will be appalled at my servant. He will be disfigured. His form will be marred. And we see in this passage one word, a key word, that kind of explains a little bit about this. We see the word so. I'm just going to read the verses from 14 and 15 again. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For What they were not told, they will see. And what they have not heard, they will understand. So it's because he was beaten up, because he was in that place of despair, because he was down low, that he will be lifted up. It's because he's given up his life, that he's not even human, that he will be raised up, highly exalted, lifted up. It's mirrored by the passage that Paul writes wonderfully in Philippians 2. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, the fancy so, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So it's because he was obedient to death that he was lifted up, that he was exalted. It was because he was willing to be beaten up, put in that place of hopelessness and despair, and he was then lifted up. And we know the story doesn't end there, but just the cross, if it was just the cross, he's still highly exalted and lifted up because he was willing to empty himself of all his glory, all his honor, all his majesty, and become nothing so that we could have a relationship with him, so that we could be lifted up, so that we could be taken out of that pit and have a life with him. It reminds me a little bit of the story of Joseph. Many of you know the story of Joseph. Joseph's final destination was prime minister of Egypt. And if you're going to plot your way to become prime minister of Egypt, you would not do it the way it happened to Joseph. He was sold into slavery by his brothers. He was then put in prison for something he hadn't done. And like Israel, he would have felt hopeless. He would have felt in despair. He would have felt, why am I in this place? It doesn't make sense. Like Israel, he had a promise. He had a promise from a dream that he would be bowed down to by his siblings. And here he is in prison. Like Israel, they had promises that they were God's people, that he wouldn't leave them nor forsake them. And yet they felt abandoned. If you looked at them, you would have said they looked cursed. Sometimes God takes those little moments, those moments where we're down, desperate, alone, and we feel abandoned. And he uses them and he lifts us up. All those experiences Joseph went through meant that he was able to lean on God that much more. So when he became prime minister, he was a good prime minister. And God's ultimate promise to all of us is that whatever circumstances we're in, he will lift us up. He will lift us up to a place in heaven. That's the ultimate destination. But I wonder what your circumstances are now. Where are you at now? Jesus chose to become nothing, and he was lifted up. I wonder if some of us are in that place where we feel like we're nothing. We're down at the bottom of the pile. And God is saying, he will lift us up. We have hope. He is our living hope. And we can have a future with him. Jesus was glorified because he chose to become nothing. And Jesus didn't come to look good. He didn't come to present himself well before the people. He didn't come so that people would see the majesty and the glory of him. Ultimately, yes, that's who he is right now. But he came and made himself nothing. He didn't come to look good. He came to bring life. Now I wonder, are we focused on looking good rather than bringing life. And if we're doing something, are we doing something to look good, or are we doing something to bring us and to bring others life? Because that's the calling on each one of us. God has placed something inside of us that will bring life to others. And if we are able to bring life to others, then we can see God lifted up, raised up, highly exalted by the communities around us, because we've chosen to not look good, but to bring life. So are we bringing life? Or are we looking good? And if we follow Jesus' example, and we follow the likes of Joseph and Abraham and David and Moses and so many of the Old Testament prophets and the people in the Bible, we will choose to trust and surrender to his will. And it's a ridiculous will, isn't it? If we look at Jesus, we wouldn't think he is going to be lifted up, so we need to kill him. Beyond what we would even imagine a human can go through. We gave that to Jesus, or that was the plan of the Father, to give that and place that on Jesus, so that one day when we place our lives and trust in him, we can worship him in heaven forever, because he takes away the sin and the shame of the world. He has taken away that stuff that is like, oh, that's holding me back. He has laid that upon Jesus, and he is not even recognizable as a human. And because he's not recognizable, it's like, surely that can't be right. But Jesus trusted and surrendered to God's will. This was the plan of the Father, and he trusted and stepped into that plan and purpose. It's a ridiculous message. Listen to these words that Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And he rams this home by saying, for the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. And so, despite the ridiculous nature of this plan, it's actually wisdom. See, my servant will act wisely. The ultimate wisdom is following Jesus, is following our Heavenly Father. And the ultimate strength is emptying ourselves of our own strength and following in Jesus' footsteps and saying, you be my power, you be my wisdom. There's nothing in me that can do it for myself. And the upside down nature of following Jesus is that we read in Isaiah 55, for my thoughts, this is God's thoughts and not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Because we can't always understand God's plan, we need to know God. We need to know him intimately. And when we know him, we can trust him, and we can surrender to him. And when we surrender to him, he will lead us forward into the purposes he's called us to bring life to those around us and to transform our hearts. If Helen, my wife, were here, she would tell the story of how over the past few years she has been praying through issues of pleasing people, as in those thoughts that people are, it's so important in our lives that she doesn't want to do something that might hurt or upset people. My issue is almost the opposite. It's like, I want to prove myself, so I want to look good. I want to be in a place where you look at me and think, he's got it all sorted. And as we've been journeying through this, we've realized actually it comes down to the same issue. We are not trusting our everything to God. We're not trusting our reputation. We're not trusting what people think about us to God. We're not trusting him enough to say, it's okay what they think, as long as we follow him, as long as we're surrendering to his will and to his purposes. It doesn't matter what they think. Only following Jesus matters. And it's ridiculous. If I was in Jesus' position, as Jesus is being trialed and as he's been hung on a cross, I'd be like, no, you've got it all wrong. You've got to listen to me. Listen to this. I'm God's son. I'm here to bring salvation. I could save myself, but it's okay. I'm choosing not to. And I'd be justifying myself. And Jesus remains silent because he chooses to surrender to God's will. If Helen was Jesus in the upper room, it would be like, okay, there's someone in here who doesn't like me. I need to make this right. I'm going to go over and please him and make it right for him. And what Jesus did was he just loved him. He was obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore, God lifted him up and exalted him. So where in our lives are we struggling to trust him? What is not surrendered completely to the Father? Where have we stepped out of his purposes and his will for our lives? This morning, let's choose to step back in to his purposes. Let's not worry about the mess in our house. Jesus has already dealt with that on the cross. Let's not worry about what we look like. Let's trust him and step into his purposes and plans. And then finally, to wait and obey. Basically, every biblical example shows that someone had to wait. Abraham, Moses, David, Joseph. They had to wait to see God's plans and purposes reach fruition. And in the meantime, they were taught to obey. And as a sign that we are trusting and surrendering our lives to Jesus, this is what it is. It's waiting for his plans to come through. It's obeying him. It's trusting him to move forwards, regardless of what's happening, and saying, it looks messy now. It looks crazy. It looks like it's not going to work, but actually, I'm still going to obey you, Lord, because I know that by trusting you, you will lead me forward. You will lift me up. One day, it will become clear. Some of you will know that we had miraculous provision for us to move into our house in North Bushy. And that year, 2017, it was a challenging year as we were trying to work out how financially we could afford it. God had told us, move into North Bushy. And we thought, okay, that's fine. God, you have to provide. And he did. It was amazing. And then we thought, okay, that's fine. We've learned that lesson. Let's move on. And within a week of moving into that house, Helen was about 30, 31 weeks pregnant. The toilet started sinking through the floor, the one toilet we had. And we needed a new bathroom. And we knew we needed to have damp work done. We knew we needed to have work done outside to make sure that the house was waterproof. We knew we needed to have electrics done. We knew we needed to have a whole lot of work done to it. And the money we had at the time wasn't going to pay for it all. And so we had this stress on top of the fact that Helen was due to give birth in 9-10 weeks. We were in a position where it's like, God, you placed us here for a purpose, and surely it should be easier than this. And then Eva was born, and it was like this great joy, great privilege. Thought, okay, it's going to be okay. And in many ways, it got harder. We had to move out of our house to have all of that work done. 3 months in the year, we were out of our house. For 1 month period, we did not spend a week in the same place for 4 weeks. And so it was like, those of you who have children and you know you're taking your kids out of the normal zone that they're used to, it's like, oh, this is really hard. Sleep patterns were disturbed. We were getting more and more tired. And I was working full time. Helen's money in terms of maternity leave, that was getting less. And we still had all these bills to pay, a mortgage that was more than we were expecting. And God, why are we in this position? Surely this is part of your plan, Lord, for us to be here. Why isn't it easier? Sometimes we don't know why we're in the position that we are. But when we trust and obey and wait for the Lord and know him better, then he will look after us. He will lift us up. Being a Christian doesn't make our life easier. You can look at all the examples in the Bible. Following God, was that an easy life? For Jesus, was it easy? No. But he lived in the light of God's plan and purposes. And because he did, he brought salvation to the world. And it's what he calls us to do. And I know that we were in the right place. I was questioning, God, did we really need to move? That would have taken a huge amount of stress off us. But I know that we were in the right place. We've been able to pay for every bill, and we still do that. We still trust God every month, but we know that he's our provider. And just one other story, in terms of being in North Bushy, where we felt God was placing us, he placed us in that building for a reason. And just last week, and lots of these things are happening, but just last week, I was in the park, round the corner from our house, and there was another family there, and one of the kids came up to me and said, "You're Dan, you're from that church, right?" "Yeah, that's right." "What's your name?" Conversation with a family started because we're in that place. He moved us for a reason. And by being obedient to what he's asked us to do, we can live in the light of his promises that he will provide, that he won't leave us nor forsake us. It may not look good, but it is good. Because he's got a plan for us. And because he was willing to be made nothing so that we can be lifted up, we have the ultimate example to follow. So if you're in a position of waiting for something, are you willing to wait for God's plan? Are you willing to let go of your agenda and your timetable so that God's agenda can take center stage? And where he's asked us to do something, it's like, "Oh no, God, that's just not going to look good for me. That's not what I want to do." Are you willing to obey him, even if it makes you look ridiculous? Because as Paul writes, the foolishness of God is stronger than man's wisdom. It may look stupid, but when we step into that wisdom, we know he's going to give us all that we need. And he will give us the power and he will give us the strength, but are we willing to get rid of our own strength and our own wisdom so that ultimately only God's will prevail? He is worth it all. Looking stupid, moving away from our own dreams and desires for his, he's worth it all. This morning, are we willing to do that? So let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you gave it all up for us. We thank you that you are worthy of our trust, of our obedience, of our surrender. We thank you that you are worthy of us waiting for you. We thank you that you didn't come to look good, but you came to bring life. And that life is available to everyone here. And you came so that we might bring life to those around us. And so, Lord, forgive us for when we choose not to surrender to you. Forgive us for when we choose not to trust you, and we choose to trust our own wisdom, our own strength, our own plans, our own desires. Going to leave a moment for us all to consider those things that we haven't fully trusted to God. Let's bring them before him. Father, I pray for every person here who is willing to give up their everything for you. I pray that in the face of circumstances that don't look good, I pray that you will strengthen them, you will give them the wisdom they need, and that they will follow you with all their hearts, with all their minds, with all their strength. And Lord, I pray that where we're struggling to make you center stage right now, help us make you center stage. Help us to glorify you with all that we do, and that there'll be less of us and more of you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. Continue your work and draw us closer to you, I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this recording. We hope it has encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've heard the voice of God and been aware of his presence with you wherever you are. Do share with us any answers to prayer or get in touch if there is any way we can help you further on your journey with God. Come and see us on Sunday, or you can email us at admin@wellspring-church.org. May God be near you and his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.